Bible Study Fellowship, Revelation, The Hope. Lesson 9, The Throne Room of God. Focus verse, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Many people live with little thought about God. Daily life, family, work, and countless other things capture our attention and can seem more real than a God we cannot see. People may even acknowledge God, yet live no differently than those who do not know Him. How can this perception of God change? Is He actively involved in or at all concerned about life on this earth? In Revelation chapter 4, John describes the eternal God enthroned in heaven. Words cannot fully capture God's heavenly grandeur. As Revelation unfolds, John will write of future events, but first he must gaze with wonder at Almighty God on His throne. God's unequaled greatness decimates human pride and self-sufficiency. When we truly grasp God's magnificent glory, our lives are changed forever. Understanding who God is allows us to function in the present and head into the future without fear. God's majestic glory inspires ceaseless worship. We must not squander the opportunity to view life and our world through the lens of God's greatness. Division 1, God's Throne, Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 6a. Jesus calls to John, chapter 4, verse 1. Five times in Revelation, the phrase, after this, signals the start of a new vision. John's vision of God's throne room followed his vision of Jesus and the letters to the seven churches. Jesus called to John to come up here and enter a door into heaven. We join John in this glimpse of God's unmatched sovereignty. This scene signals a major shift in the book of Revelation, which records an epic struggle between two thrones, the throne of Satan and the throne of God. John will soon record startling visions of coming judgment, but first he stabilizes us with essential truth. God and His Son are in control. God sits on His throne as the future unfolds. God's awesome throne room appears throughout Revelation, emphatically revealing God's limitless power and eternal rule. John's vision pulls back the curtain to unveil God's majestic control center. From this heavenly place, God will complete every detail of His plan to redeem His people and restore His creation. No earthly throne can rival the power and wisdom that flow from God Himself. Nothing can stop God from accomplishing His purposes. This scene offered true encouragement to John's original readers who suffered under Roman rule. They needed to hear this enduring truth, as do believers today. No emperor, king, president, prime minister, or general controls the universe. Even Satan himself only has the power God permits. God remains firmly in control of everything in this world. John looked and saw a door into heaven standing open. As in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John again heard a voice that resounded like a trumpet. Jesus called to John, "Come up here and I will show you what must take place after this." Jesus Christ alone provides access to God the Father. Different interpretations attempt to explain Jesus' call to John, "Come up here." Some Christians believe Jesus simply invited John to receive this vision of God's throne. Others believe this points to the rapture of the church, a time before Christ returns when Christians are suddenly taken up into heaven. Those who see the rapture in this passage believe God will spare Christians from the Great Tribulation, a terrible time of God's judgment on the earth. Another viewpoint holds that believers will meet Christ in the air as He returns to earth prior to the consummation of all things. No matter how you understand this passage, this remains clear. God reigns on His throne and rules over His creation. The Bible records other prophets who received visions of God's transcendent nature and character. The Apostle Paul was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. By God's grace and because of Christ's sacrifice, believers now have access to Almighty God. All believers share this unimaginable privilege and will one day bask in God's unfiltered glory forever. John's vision of God on his throne, chapter 4, verses 2 to 6a. Brilliant splendor, chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. The Holy Spirit enabled John to see this vision of God's throne. The central scene of this entire book, God's throne symbolizes his absolute rule and majesty. God's throne appears 16 times in Revelation, chapter 4 and chapter 5. As John took in the awesome sight of heaven's glory, Jesus promised him something more. Jesus would unfold future events to John. John describes the radiant colors with comparisons to precious stones. He describes the one seated on the throne, God himself, as having the appearance of jasper and ruby. Jasper, considered a very precious jewel, shone clear as crystal. Ruby, sometimes translated carnelian or sardius from Sardis, appeared as brilliant red and shades of deeper color. A rainbow of emerald encircled the throne, perhaps an aura of refracted light, with colors like a brilliant diamond surrounded the resplendent one on the throne. God dwells in majestic yet unapproachable light. A Company of Worshippers, chapter 4, verse 4. Against this backdrop of majesty and splendor, John saw 24 elders seated upon 24 thrones, encircling God's throne. Though not identified, one common interpretation views the elders as symbolizing Israel's 12 patriarchs, the 12 sons of Jacob, and Jesus' 12 apostles. Revelation chapter 21, verses 12 to 14, seems to validate this point. Dressed in white, each elder wore a crown of gold on his head, symbolizing his purity and victory in Christ. Sitting on thrones, these men seem to be ruling and reigning with Christ. All believers are promised pure white garments of righteousness, crowns of reward, and glory in Christ. Amazing Sights and Sounds, chapter 4, verse 5. Flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder emanated from the throne. This awesome, somewhat frightening description reminds us of the scene on Mount Sinai when Moses received God's law. The people begged to be spared from hearing God's voice. As the rainbow in the sky sings of God's faithfulness to his people and his creation, the profound power of thunder and lightning foreshadows coming judgment. John's vivid description of God and his throne sets the backdrop for the book of Revelation. However, everything in life should be interpreted with God's majesty in mind. God is supreme and splendid, both beautiful and terrifying. No one can escape the penetrating light of his character or his thundering righteousness. God is not one option among many. He is the center of all and rules everything that was, is, or ever will be. Praise God that he has provided mercy and access through his matchless Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though these images may seem strange or difficult to interpret, the majestic authority of God as ruler and judge remains absolutely clear. Seven lamps identified as the seven spirits of God blazed in front of God's throne. The number seven commonly indicates completeness and perfection. Many scholars suggest the seven lamps represent the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke with complete authority regarding the Holy Spirit. Isaiah wrote of Jesus, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord." A Sea Like Glass, chapter 4, verse 6a. Around God's throne, John saw a pavement like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Usually the sea brings to mind a wild, untamed, chaotic place. Here the sea rests calm and clear, tamed in the presence of God who sees everything. Biblical visions of God's throne. Prophet and passage. Moses, Exodus chapter 24, verse 1 and verses 9 to 11. Occasion or purpose. Covenant confirmed. Description? Something like pavement of bright blue lapis lazuli under God's feet. Angelic attendance, none. Prophet and passage, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Occasion or purpose. Isaiah commissioned to go to people with calloused hearts and dull ears. Description. Train of the Lord's robe filled the temple. Smoke, altar with hot coals. Angelic attendants, seraphs with six wings. Prophet and passage, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 1 to chapter 2 verse 9. Occasion or purpose, Ezekiel called as a prophet to warn rebellious exiles in Babylon. Description, something like a vault that sparkled like crystal. What looked like a throne of lapis lazuli, a figure like a man that glowed like fire, surrounded by rainbow-like radiance. Angelic attendants, creatures with human form, with four wings, four faces, of man, lion, ox, eagle, and feet that gleamed, overall appearance like burning coals or torches. Prophet and passage, Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. Occasion or purpose, Daniel's dream in the first year of Belshazzar, promise of deliverance and an eternal kingdom for God's people. Description, the Ancient of Days on a flaming throne with a river of fire, sovereign Son of Man, receives authority, glory, and everlasting dominion. World powers depicted by four beasts. Angelic attendants, thousands upon thousands. Division 2, God's Holiness, Revelation chapter 4, verses 6b to 8. The Four Living Creatures, chapter 4, verses 6b to 8a. In the innermost circle, four living creatures surrounded God's great throne. These creatures may be the same as those who supported God's throne in Ezekiel's vision. These creatures also each had six wings, like the seraphs in Isaiah's vision of God's glory. They were covered with eyes even on the underparts of their wings. Each relates to a different order in creation. Lion, the mightiest among the wild animals. Ox, the most magnificent among the domestic animals. Eagle, the mightiest among the birds. Man, the mightiest among them all, bearing God's image. The creatures seem to represent the entire created order, covering the wild, the tame, the sky, and humanity. Their eyes see in every direction, reflecting and honouring qualities of God, who sees and knows everything, everywhere, always. Even more, these creatures seem to represent God's angels, standing closest to his throne and ceaselessly leading in the worship of God day and night. Church tradition has seen these four creatures as symbols of the four gospel writers and their portraits of Jesus. The human has been identified with Matthew, the lion with Mark, the ox with Luke, and the eagle with John. The point being made is that the Gospels together fully tell us about the life of Christ on earth and his gracious redeeming work. The Perpetual Chorus of Praise, chapter 4, verse 8b. The four living creatures expressed unending praise to the holy, all-powerful, and eternal God. God's greatness and supremacy demand a response. Those who live in his presence praise him continuously. These creatures led in the worship of God day and night, night and day, without end. This song presents the first of many poems of praise within this book. Forming the inner circle surrounding God's throne, the four living creatures sang a song like the seraphim's song in Isaiah. They extolled God's holiness to the superlative degree. The four creatures never stop repeating the words, "Holy, holy, holy." God's holiness is rooted in his perfect purity and absolute otherness. God exists entirely separate and unique from his creation, intimately involved with all he has made, yet far above everyone and everything. Even more, God's holiness envelops all he is. His love is holy. His wrath is holy. Every aspect of God's nature is holy. God is so holy that the gulf between his sacred perfection and our sinfulness could only be bridged when the Son of God became perfect man. The song of praise continued with words that God used of himself in the opening verses of Revelation. He is the one who was and is to come. Our eternal God is unbound and unlimited by time. Everything else we know has a beginning. Everything will come to an end, except what God chooses to preserve. God always was and always will be. He governs the present and the future according to his perfect purposes. The future holds no mystery for him. John's revelation of the future stands grounded in God's high and holy character. Like the perpetually praising creatures, the only proper response to God is heartfelt praise and humble worship. The holy, exalted ruler of eternity. The doctrine of God the Father. John's heavenly vision of God on his throne offers a needed perspective. In this world, the unchanging reality of God's splendor and supremacy often eludes us. Evil seems to triumph as the proud exert power and seeming control. The brokenness we experience and observe can seem more real than the incomparable power of an eternal God. A deliberate gaze at heaven's throne sets our thinking right. He is the one who was and is to come. He is over all and through all and in all. The triune God, the creator and sustainer of all things, reigns without rival. God, who exceeds human description and understanding, has purposefully revealed himself to humankind. If he had not, we could not know him. What encouragement this gives us to love and trust this awesome God. God the Father chose to make himself known through creation and his word. He sent his Son Jesus, who perfectly displayed his character on earth. The Holy Spirit opens believers' minds to understand in part the mysteries that will be fully revealed only in heaven. God's revelation of himself through his word, his Son, and his Spirit provides certain help and encouragement as we navigate life on earth. To fail to recognize God's pervasive rule over all things means interpreting life as random and chaotic. To believe you are the master of your own destiny means thinking life has no purpose and missing the privilege of resting within God's sovereignty and trusting his power. The revolving door of human rulers and seemingly random events leaves us unsatisfied and ultimately insecure. We miss the opportunity to bow before God, whose splendor and majesty exceed any earthly king. God's rule and reign are not merely a future hope, but a present reality. At this very moment, God sits on heaven's throne with all authority and power. Every challenge and unanswered question you face presents an opportunity to trust and worship the living God. Believing that God's sovereign purposes cannot be thwarted offers peace and stability nothing else affords. Through Christ's finished work, every believer enjoys fellowship with Almighty God as their Heavenly Father. How are you experiencing this wonderful privilege? Division 3, God's Creation, Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Heaven's Continuous Praise, chapter 4, verse 9. When the creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders joined their chorus of praise. God is honored when time worshiping in his presence is a delight, not a duty. Thanksgiving rises from grateful hearts, expressing gratitude for all he is and does. Heaven's continuous praise reiterates God's worthiness. True worship on earth likewise focuses resolutely on God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Elders' Humble Worship, chapter 4, verse 10a. The 24 elders responded by offering God worship and submission. They fell down before God's throne to worship the eternal King who lives forever. To bow down before God implies more than physical posture. Recognizing God's greatness leaves us no alternative. We must rightfully humble ourselves before the one who is worthy of all allegiance and adoration. To bow before God is not to cringe before him. Rather, the proper response to God's greatness is to throw off pride and humbly defer to him. Those who see God for who he is gratefully honor him for all he is and has done. Surrendering to God is good and right. Praise of God permeates all of Scripture. Worshipping God acknowledges His complete perfection and our absolute need to depend on Him. Worship begins with a correct view of God that lifts Him high. He is everything we are not and has everything we lack. What is worship to you? True New Testament worship calls us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Transforming worship means humbly and purposefully concentrating on God in a way that transforms all aspects of life. Genuine worship involves more than an emotional experience and occurs when Christians, either alone or together, intentionally speak or sing to God in response to His magnificence. We also worship God when we live the way He intends, responding to Him. Worship is not a once-a-week obligation, but a moment-by-moment privilege that every Christian should prize. True worship produces a posture of surrender that gives God the honour and exaltation He deserves. The Golden Crowns, chapter 4, verse 10b. As they worshipped, the elders cast their crowns before God's throne. This act signified honour for God as one who would honour royalty and reflected allegiance and submission to His sovereignty. God alone is worthy of glory and honour and power. This respectful and worshipful deed by the elders also recognised God as the source of and the authority over everything they had, the giver of every gift. All rewards come by God's grace and through His power. God promises crowns to those who persevere in living faithfully for Him. However, any act of obedience or spiritual accomplishment has its source in God Himself. We serve God and bear fruit for His kingdom only by His enabling. He grants His people His power and regards them as worthy by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The ultimate reward is not human praise, but giving honour back to the Father in heaven. You created all things, chapter 4, verse 11. As the song of living creatures ended, immediately the 24 elders began a second hymn of praise. They extolled God's worthiness as creator, declaring God as worthy of glory, honour and power. God's sovereign rule and creative work cannot be separated. Because God made this world, He is sovereign over it. No human government or kingdom could ever rival this claim. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of all creation. He established the world and holds it together. Everything exists in heaven and on earth because God made it. Everything continues to exist because of God's sustaining provision. Our lives are indebted to our Creator. Everything in heaven is centered on God, who is enthroned and exalted. God's majestic glory inspires ceaseless worship. Take to heart, hold fast. John saw an indescribable heavenly vision of God's glory and splendor. God actively rules the world from His majestic throne. Surrounded by praise day and night, heaven's creatures and people humbly declare God's holiness and worthiness in profound worship and surrender. The indescribable majesty and unparalleled grandeur of God is a past, present, and future reality. God's sovereign rule from His glorious throne greatly impacts our lives now and for eternity. He knows and controls the future. God rules His creation in perfect holiness. He alone is in charge. He alone is worthy of worship. Apply it. How much do you think about God? From where do you draw your ideas about what He is like? Most people prefer a weak, impotent, mostly absent God, the type who gives them what they want and makes no claims on their lives. The God of the Bible is very different. God is our Creator, enthroned in heaven, ruling time and eternity. If you see Him as He is, you will not make demands or offer excuses. You will fall face down in humble, reverent submission and worship. How will you respond to His majestic sovereignty? How is God calling you to bow down before Him? Human beings, corrupted by sin, naturally desire what only God deserves. Throughout history, humanity's refusal to recognize God as creator and sustainer reveals a deliberate declaration of self-rule. We long for power, position, honor, and glory. We crave independence from God more than we desire submission to Him. People reject God as creator because God compels surrender. A distorted view of God leads to a downward spiral of misinformed priorities and values. John's vision invites us to center our lives on the stabilizing reality of God Himself. God sits on heaven's throne, reigning without rival. No one is stronger than God or knows more than He does. Not only is God powerful, but He also loves the people He created enough to have made a way to save them from sin. In what way do you wrongly seek to displace God and rule your own life? Will you find comfort and stability in God's matchless power and absolute sovereignty? Assume heaven's posture now. Worship God with your words and your life. Several times in the book of Revelation, we will hear God declared worthy. What do we mean by that? In this passage, the 24 elders declared God worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Jesus will be declared worthy to open the scroll that initiates God's judgment. How can we personalize that truth in a meaningful way? God is worth believing. He is worthy of anything that following Him costs us in this life. We surrender to Him because He deserves our wholehearted submission. His ways matter more than ours. His thoughts exceed our own. The God who created us has the right and power to accomplish what He wills. He is infinitely and eternally qualified to receive our allegiance and worship. God is worthy. How will God's worthiness impact your priorities this week? How might you align your life around the glory, honor, and thanks rightfully due your Creator? This concludes this week's lesson. Thanks for listening, and we will join you again next week.